And welcome back. Most college students know something about beer, but now they have a chance to learn a lot more in the classroom. The University of Missouri-St. Louis is now offering a course on beer brewing. The emphasis is on making the brew, not drinking it. And there's more to it than just learning the brewing process. Joining me in studio to explain is Joseph Meisel. This fall, the fourth-year Ph.D. chemistry student at UMSL is offering the beer brewing course for a credit at the university. Also with us is Kristen Chalfant, a founding member of a new organization called Femme Ferment, a group of women who think there is more to beer than just drinking it. Thanks, folks, for being with us. Nice to have you. Joe, I'll start with you. Why this course?
Well, there's a lot of people who are really intimidated by science, and this course is really for those type of people. So at University of Missouri-St. Louis, you have to accrue a certain number of science credits if you're a non-science major. But the university doesn't have too many courses that people would like to take, and some people are extremely afraid or they just loathe taking science. Well, this course is for those type of people. It's using beer brewing, which is something that a lot of people are familiar with, at least the consumption part, but using that for a way to teach the science.
This is your first year for the course.
Yes, of course.
Do you have any sense of enrollment at this point?
At this point, we have 11 enrolled, and we're accepting 24 students.
Right. Out of the 11, how many are female?
We don't know. I don't have that information yet.
All right. Well, I asked that question because Kristen is very much interested in the distaff side of the beer process, both making and drinking. What do you think about this idea, Kristen?
I think it's great. I think it's a great opportunity for people to get their feet wet in the science side of beer, as there's a lot of science that goes behind it. It's not only a creative process. So I think it'll be a good addition.
Well, you know something, I guess, by osmosis about the creative process because your husband's heavily involved in all of this.
Correct. He is the brewmaster at Morgan Street Brewery. So he's been brewing for about 3-4 years.
Well, maybe we ought to get you and him and Joe together to work on this course a little bit. Joe, what kind of hoops did you have to jump through to get this course? I mean, you're brewing an alcoholic product.
Well, there really weren't that many hoops. I'd say about a few months ago, I pitched the course to our the chemistry department chair. He had interest in it, so we sent it along to the dean of the arts and sciences, who had actually been wanting this sort of course for some time because it's very useful to have a course like this to drum up enrollment and get science out to people. So after that, they just sent it to the legal team, and they said it was okay.
Do you have to be 21 to participate in this course?
You don't have to be 21 to take the course, but you have to be 21 to consume during the course.
Right.
And the course won't be all about brewing. We will have a lab portion where they will brew, but there will be a lot of beer analysis, a lot of beer measurements.
What kind of science is going to be learned by taking this course?
There will be a vast array of science. It'll be all the way from chemistry to biology and even a little bit of physics. The chemistry comes in with the chemistry of the water, and there's a lot of chemistry involved in how the yeast interact, basically by consuming the sugars. But there's also biology there, too. So there'll be a lot of teaching, but we'll only go to, a not very in-depth level.
Having read some things that you have said and been quoted on, apparently it's your belief, and perhaps from your own experience, that a lot of people are intimidated by the science courses.
Yeah, especially people who don't have an interest in science as a career, they're intimidated. You hear a lot of horror stories about people who had just the worst chemistry class in high school. I think if we can use something that they're interested in to get the science out with a more contextual basis, then it'll be a lot easier for them to absorb that information.
All right. Let me turn back to Kristen now and talk about your organization.
Sure.
Femme Ferment. Very clever and cute, if you don't mind my saying that title. How did all this get started and why?
It was actually a group of us women in the beer industry that we originally wanted a reason to get together, and because we didn't see each other all that often, so we wanted basically a reason to get together and see one another. After our first meeting or two, we kind of realized what our network was and how vast, each of us, the things that we brought to the table and how we can make an impact in women and beer in St. Louis.
That's not a connection that is often made, women and beer.
Correct.
Yeah. Why?
It's I think beer is portrayed as, you know, something the guys drink, something.
Well, and in fact, it is.
It is, although, I mean, a quarter of all beer consumption is drank by women. And a lot of we have a stereotype where, you know, the women walk into the bar, they want something light. They want something low in calories. They don't want a double IPA. They don't want something full of flavor, which is a lot of times false.
And women are not often associated with the brewing of beer or the marketing of beer.
Correct.
Commercials, perhaps. Mm-hmm. If they represent 25% of the consumers, I wonder why they haven't been more pronounced in these various aspects of the business.
Right. That's another that was one of the main focuses of FemFerment, is to highlight the roles of women in the St. Louis craft beer industry. I know a lot of women in the industry have trouble when they walk into a brewery. They want to get their feet wet. They want to brew. They want to be involved in the process. But they're oftentimes looked at as weak or not able to do the physical side of the job.
Let's face it, it's been pretty much a boys' club up until now.
It has been a boys' club.
And you're going to change that, right? You and your friends.
We're hoping to, yes. Yeah. We're hoping to use our network.
You're a relatively new organization?
Yes, we launched in May. So
it's a little too early to tell if you're having any kind of an impact.
I think while we don't have, you know, numbers, we've had a couple of happy hours and events that we've at our monthly happy hours. We've had 40 on an average of 40 women per happy hour come, and that's great if we can get the word out and continue to grow. Our organization.
Your organization will grow accordingly. Yes. Joe, Kristen just mentioned the brewing process and the fact that women basically have been kind of shut out of that. Mm-hmm. Now, how difficult a process is the brewing process?
Well, on a homebrew scale, so if you're brewing at home on a small, you know, on a small kit or on a small volume basis, then it's pretty easy. It's like following a recipe. But if you're trying to do it on a craft brew scale or on a macro brew scale, like a large brewery, it becomes very difficult.
Why did you choose beer to foster your agenda in teaching science? Why not something else?
Well, part of that is maybe a bit personal because I do have an affinity for beer. But I think beer, the brewing process, is exceptional to teach a lot of different types of science, chemistry and biology namely, but within chemistry and biology, there really is a lot of science that can be taught using the beer process.
I have a note here. At the end of the course, not one student will think they learned about secondary metabolism or how it works. But that's your quote, and I guess they will know how it works. But what the heck is it?
I think that quote is from Ron Yasbin, our dean of the arts and sciences.
Oh, okay.
But I do agree with him. They might not think that they've learned about all those things that we will have taught them, but they will know the application of it. So I think that's one of the benefits of a course like this. We're not trying to make people scientists. We're just trying to get the information out to them.
How will you test them?
Well, there's been suggestions that we could do taste tests, but I don't think that's quite right for the university atmosphere. Mm-hmm. It'll be a portion of lab. So they'll do lab reports, and then they'll also have short exams.
Any special licensing required on your part or the university's part in order to produce an alcoholic product?
No, on the scale that we will be brewing, it'll be a very small scale. Each student they'll work in pairs and only produce about a gallon of beer. So on that small scale, we don't have to worry about licensing. We won't be selling it, which is one of the more important aspects of it. And we won't let anybody take the beer home. We'll be in possession of beer the whole time. So that's how we'll be able to, you know, let students who aren't 21 brew beer, but they won't be able to taste.
But it will be consumed. You're not going to throw any of it away, I assume.
Oh, of course.
All right. We'll continue our conversation in just a moment. Have to take a break now. We're talking about beer and a new course being offered this fall at the University of Missouri, St. Louis, a beer brewing course, which is really a canard because what our friend Joe Mizell is going to be doing is teaching kids science through the brewing of beer. He is with me in studio, as is Kristen Chalfant, a founding member of a new organization called FemFerment. She She's also associated with the Morgan Street Brewery. We'd like to get you into the conversation. Feel free to give us a call at 382-8255. That's 382-TALK. Send us an email at talk@stlpublicradio.org. If you'd prefer to send a tweet, we'll take one at STL on air. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Hello again and welcome back. We'll be continuing our conversation on beer and beer in St. Louis in just a moment. But first, here are some of the stories our St. Louis Public Radio newsroom is following today. In the lead up to the August 5th primary, our reporters are taking a look at some of the issues and races on the ballot. We'll have a look at the role of the labor unions are playing in the race for the St. Louis County Council Executive. Between the two Democratic contenders, a majority of unions are throwing their support behind Steve Stenger, but Charlie Dooley still has the allegiance of the two biggest unions. And a group of young St. Louis acrobats performing with Circus Harmony is stranded in Israel. The group had traveled to Israel as part of an annual exchange with a joint Israeli-Palestinian acrobatic troupe. Because of the ban on flights going to Israel earlier this week, the Circus Harmony kids' return to St. Louis was postponed until next week. You can learn more about these and other stories this afternoon on 90.7 KWMU and throughout the day at stlpublicradio.org. Now back to our conversation with Joseph Meisel, fourth-year Ph.D. chemistry student at UMSL. He's offering the beer brewing course for credit at the university starting this fall. Kristen Schalfond is a member of a new organization called Femme Ferment and is also associated with the Morgan Street Brewery. Kristen, let me come back to you with regard to the explosion in craft beers in St. Louis. What's going on here? Why is this happening, do you think?
I think the craft beer industry as a whole, it's exploding all over the country, and it's great to see. And I think all of the new breweries that are opening have something different to offer, and so there's a niche for every type of brewery that's opening.
Well, how much do they have to offer? What can be offered, do you think, for these various places?
Different flavors and different combinations, and it's exciting to see just new styles of beer and new collaborations and flavors. I don't know.
How do you get that flavor into beer? I mean, I'm familiar with a number of beers, I must confess, and there are differences in flavors. How is that accomplished?
Just by different ingredients, different ideas. You know, you may go out to dinner and taste something in what you're eating and say, I wonder how this would go in a beer. This would go great with such and such a beer. And that's kind of how it evolves, I guess.
Joe, is this something you're going to be working with, trying different recipes, if you will, for different flavor and that sort of thing? Is it just a basic recipe?
No, we'll be trying different recipes. We'll be talking about the chemistry of flavor, which is exceptionally interesting. And you can get different flavors from all the way down to the grain that you start with. The grain can be roasted different ways to give you different flavors. You can have grain that makes it more sweet or makes it more bitter. But most of the bitter flavor in beer comes from the hops. And hops come in a lot of different varieties as well. So there's a lot of chemistry behind that flavoring. And then finally, we can't leave out the yeast. And there are a lot of people who argue that yeast is where you get most of the flavor, which might be surprising to some people. But different strains of yeast are actually impart different flavors to the beer.
Are you actually going to be roasting the grains?
We will. So we will have a lab where we'll take a very base grain that hasn't been roasted much. We'll put it in an oven, and then we'll essentially make beer out of it. And I'll have the students measure the change in color and the change in flavor.
My understanding is that a big brewery here, which shall remain nameless, uses rice as one of its key ingredients. Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
Yes, I am.
Well, tell us about rice and the role that it plays. I mean, that's a little bit different than most beers.
Well, beer has been made out of a lot of different grains. You can make it out of rice. You can make it from barley. You can make it from wheat. We're familiar with wheat beers. And you can even make it from corn. There's a very old beer-type drink called chicha from South America where they make it out of corn. And it's done by actually chewing the corn in your mouth to break the starch down into sugars that the yeast can consume. But you might be familiar with Reinheitsgebot, which is the old German purity law. Mm-hmm. We've heard it in commercials for another certain beer. Mm-hmm. This law says that you have to make it out of barley, that grain specifically. But there's nothing wrong with making out of rice, wheat, or any other type of grain.
I wonder how the ancients stumbled on all of this. Do you have any sense of that kind of history?
I think that history is really interesting. What many people think is it happened back in ancient Egypt or Sumeria, and what people think is that was right around the time when they were baking bread, and the bread actually, the yeast from the bread was probably lying around with some grains in it, and someone, you know, got the courage to take a drink of it and thought it was pretty good.
You know, most things that we really enjoy were discovered by accident. And, of course, in St. Louis, the most famous example, I guess, is toasted ravioli.
Yeah.
slipped into a pot of hot grease or something, and the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah, maybe we could have a class on that, too.
Not bad. I'm sure there's some chemistry involved in that.
Absolutely.
Kristen, tell me a little bit about your husband's work. How close are you to that? I mean, not to your husband, but to the work that he does.
I would say fairly close. While I'm not hands-on in the brewery with him, we have a great gateway of communication. And, you know, I love hearing about his processes and how his experiences in the brewery. And so that's something that I'm able to relate to and kind of take with. And, you know, when we travel for beer. And it's really knowing how he does it makes me understand, you know, how it's done.
Does he do a lot of experimenting, or can he?
Yes, they do some pilot batches and test batches in the brewery, small batch stuff, and then they have their regular mainstays.
I hope I'm not going to be accused of something here by saying that a lot of women I know avoid beer because they say it puts on weight. A lot of men that I know don't care and as a result are sometimes overweight. With your group of women, what is their approach to that part of the beer drinking process?
I think it's really interesting that you say that because the nutritional value, the number of calories in a beer is based on the alcohol content. So women say wine is better for them. Well, wine is 12% alcohol, so if they're drinking, you know, a glass of wine versus a glass of 5% beer, there's fewer calories in the beer. So I think that's a myth that needs to be squashed.
Well, let's talk about that with our PhD candidate here. What do you think? I mean, that is an issue with a lot of people.
Well, Chris, it brings up a great point. It really is the alcohol where you get the calories from almost entirely. There are still some sugars in beer that you know, you can get calories from, but most of it is the alcohol. Alcohol by itself lies somewhere between sugar and fats in terms of how much energy you get out of it. And those sort of calories, that's really what adds up. So, you know, a wine that ends up being the same percentage as beer, you know, if you total it by volume, then it'll be roughly the same amount of calories.
What will the alcoholic content be of the beer that you'll be brewing at UMSL?
It depends. So we'll be brewing a couple different styles of beer. So one of them will be an IPA, which will be a little bit higher. It might be around somewhere between 5 and 6. We'll also have some wheat beers that'll be a little bit lower, and then some stouts that might be a bit higher as well.
Kristen, back to you with regard to the number of women who are involved in your organization.
Yes.
Are any of them actively involved in the brewing of beer or the management of some of these craft breweries that we're talking about?
Yes, we actually have several women. Kat from O'Fallon is a part of our group. Libby Brown, one of our founding members, has recently started brewing at Second Shift. And actually, Kat and Emily is a new brewer at Charlottesville. We just collaborated with them to brew a femme saison. So it's a femme ferment Charlottesville collaboration. So, and we've got several home brewers, and a lot of people are involved in the actual brewing process in our group.
What do women bring to the table in this industry? Well, maybe that's not a good way to, not a good way to put it, but you know what I mean.
Sure. I think they bring a lot to the table. They're often discounted as a demographic, yet they have a lot of the purchasing power, and you know, they do most of the grocery shopping. So that's one aspect. Another is the palates of women are far more complex than a man's palate, and so they are able to taste flavors and get different flavors out of beers.
We're both looking over at Joe with that comment. What do you think? Are we palate deficient somehow?
I'd prefer not to say.
You're not going to get into that part of the discussion. Huh?
I think that it all comes down to a personal taste, and I think it's great that you can get women into the brewing industry. I think it needs to be done, and I think there's a lot of similarities that can be drawn between women in brewing and women in science. And I think an organization like this for the sciences would be fantastic. There certainly are some out there. We have a Women in Chemistry committee that's you know, it celebrates women in science and also encourages people, women to get into science. I think it's a great point to be made.
Kristen, do you have any sense that what you're doing here is something that's being done in other parts of the country, or that women play a greater or a lesser role in other places?
Yeah, there are several organizations across the country. That there's the Pink Boot Society, which is for women in the beer industry. There's Girls Pine Out, which I'm not sure exactly how many chapters they have, but there is one, a local chapter here. And really, women's groups are popping up, and it's really great to see women being celebrated in craft beer.
You're going far beyond with your organization, going far beyond just simply being lobbyists and advocates for beer and beer drinking. There's a philanthropic element to what you're doing, an educational element to what you're doing. What's that all about?
Really, just for the education part, we're just trying to educate people and educate them about the flavors in beer and really what beer has to offer, and just go beyond the yellow fizzy or you know, the basic idea that people think women have of beer.
Right. And what about the philanthropy?
Yes, we have partnered with an organization for an event next week, a breast cancer research that we're donating part of the proceeds to. And we're going to try to, through all of our events, donate a portion of proceeds to, you know, it'll be different causes. It won't be the same every time, but that's our way of kind of giving back.
Well, what's going on during Craft Beer Week? Which is the dates are what, the 26th of July to the 3rd of August.
Yeah. Yes, there is a lot going on during Craft Beer Week. With Femme Ferment, we are doing the Herbst Memorial Symposium at Schlafly Bottleworks. It's a panel of women in the beer industry. The topic is women in beer. And then Tuesday, we have our Mission Taco Femme Ferment taco night that they're going to be doing some special tacos and beer cocktails, and then we'll be serving up some delicious local brews from Second Shift Brewery.
How many of the various craft establishments are going to be involved in that, you know?
I'm not exactly sure. I know Second Shift will be kind of the main focus, but they're going to be creating craft cocktails with craft beer. I'm not exactly sure what those will be.
Is the craft beer industry having an impact on the traditional, if you will, the big boys on the block? Having any impact, you know?
I would like to think so. I know we have a long way to go, but I think our industry is it continues to grow locally. So I would like to think we're having an impact.
Yeah. Joe, we have a caller that didn't stay on the line, is asking, and perhaps you can answer this, perhaps not, what is the best beer for a diabetic? The caller seems to think it might be Stag beer. Do you have any sense that beer or this particular product can be good or bad for people with various illnesses, including diabetes?
Well, I don't want to give any medical advice that wouldn't be prudent, but basically, gluten, which is or not gluten free, but certain beers might be better as far as their sugar content or not. So I was thinking along the lines of gluten free beer, which is offered, and there are ciders, by the way, that can be gluten free. But I'm not really sure what might be the best for a diabetic.
Yeah. Do you have any sense that beer medicinally is good for you? Is it helpful, do you think, Kristen, for people with conditions?
Sure, I'm sure it can be.
it's almost a trick question. But certainly it would have some qualities that would be beneficial. I mean, kind of slow you down, get the metabolism going down. I'm not sure we ever had the answer to the question before about secondary metabolism. I asked you what that was. Did we get an answer to that?
I'm not quite sure what Dean Yasmin was talking about when he meant secondary metabolism. What I think he probably is talking about is yeast metabolizing the sugars which we extract from the grain, and that metabolism, they metabolize it into ethanol, which is the chemical alcohol.
Mm-hmm. In terms of luring another, 11 students you have mm-hmm. so far, and you want at least that many more.
Yeah.
How are you going to go about recruiting them, or do you take an active part in that?
I have put flyers around campus. Enrollment in college courses sort of goes through a lull during the summer semester.
Sure.
So at the beginning of the semester, there was a number of people we saw enrollment go from 0 to 9 pretty quickly. Since the publicity for the course, we've seen 2 more enroll. And as we get closer to the beginning of the semester, I'm confident that we'll fill up.
Is this a course that will be ongoing beyond, I don't know how long you intend to be at UMSL, probably not forever, but is this just a one-year thing?
No, I think it will be continued. We have a professor there who right now he's teaching environmental chemistry, another type of course where they use the application of science to get chemistry out to non-science majors. I think he'll be continuing the course once I leave, and you know, hopefully I'm not there forever.
You won't be. I'm sure you won't. Kristen, only a few seconds left. How can people get involved with Femme Ferment?
You can check us out on Facebook, social media, Facebook, Twitter, and our website. We have monthly happy hours the third Tuesday of every month at various establishments around town. Next month is at Morgan Street Brewery. And then just following us via social media and figuring out where we're going to be next.
All righty. Well, thank you so much, both of you, for being with us. Kristen, it's been nice meeting you. Good luck with your new organization, Femme Ferment. And Joe, it's been nice meeting you. Good luck with your course. I'm sure it's going to be an interesting one from many standpoints. Thank you so much for being with us. And we'll invite you to join Steve Potter tomorrow for Cityscape when he'll talk about the 2014 St. Louis Cabaret Festival. Max and Louis' production of Doug Wright's Quills and Union Avenue Opera's production of André Previn's A Streetcar Named Desire. Monday on St. Louis on the Air, we'll take a look at the increasing class divide, whether the middle class is eroding, and what can be done to close the gap between the two classes. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org. St. Louis on the Air is produced by Mary Edwards and Alex Hoyer, with production assistance from Erica Smith, Aaron Dorr, Kyle Jacoby, Amanda Huntingfort, and Cullen Riley Duffy. We say goodbye to Cullen today. He's leaving us. And we also thank Spencer Reed for his work this week. The executive producer of the program is Robert Peterson. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.